Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan
Collymore. And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week I've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
Everyone good?
Yeah, I'm really good.
So, I hope you enjoyed our new intro, which Anthony has put together.
I hope they did too. I didn't hear it.
Oh, it feels like I've been away for ages. So obviously, the biggest question of the opening weekend was, did Lineker bottle it on Manager of the Day?
Well, they were pretty big boxes, to be fair.
They'll do. They were to his knees.
I was hoping for a really small pants, really, but it was just football shorts.
They were to his knees.
he said after that he pointed out that he did say undies. He didn't specify whether he was going to wear like tighty whities or anything like that.
Nah, in all fairness, fair play to him for doing it. I mean, a lot of people be like, oh no, I can't do it because of lawyers and stuff, blah, blah, blah. No, fair play to him and the BBC for actually doing it.
I thought it was a shame they didn't bring some sort of charity into it. I thought
the thing, it'd be sponsored by something like Paddy Power or something, just anything for that. Someone's trying to get a bit of dosh, really.
Yeah, the presenter of Everton Fan Zone said she'll do it in a bikini if Everton win the league.
And so did the lady that hosted the awards night, Bianca Westwood. She said she'll do it if West Ham win the league.
Did she?
Are you a West Ham fan now, Nick?
Yes. So I was currently just cheering them on, but then I remembered it was Europa League, so...
Yeah.
I don't care about them in that.
Right, so just briefly, what were your highlights of the opening weekend?
Fantastic win for Hull over Leicester. I think that was the big result. Well, that and Liverpool beating Arsenal, but for me, purely because we didn't expect it, none of us called it last week on the podcast, and I thought it was a brilliant team performance. I'd have to say Hull.
Yeah, I think Hull... absolutely outstanding, and full credit to Mike Feeney for coaching, but I think Curtis Davis showed what a leader he was on the pitch. You can just tell, obviously, he must have really, that small group of players, they must have really been tied together in the whole of the training week before. But they played so well as a team, Hull, as well. I mean, if you're one of these negative ones, you can point the finger and say, oh, Leicester, terrible, bloody, 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 it's not going to be there yet. But if you look at the positives, say, oh, well, very good. I mean, they played the ball around very well. And as I say, I think they were very well fighting back. I thought it was such a good captain's performance from Curtis Davis.
I enjoyed the Chelsea-West Ham Monday night as well. I thought that was quite a good game. I thought Costa was very lucky to stay on the pitch.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea, I thought West Ham were very poor, if I'm honest. I thought Chelsea were always comfortable, and I think it would have been a catastrophe if Chelsea didn't get anything other than the 3 points.
If we go back to Leicester, do you think it was... Well, there's some people saying it's because Kante wasn't playing, and there's some people saying it was the pre-season. Last season, he just stayed in England, played a lot of lower league sides. Was this side, they went to Thailand and played Paris Saint-Germain and Barcelona and got battered in both games.
Well, that's what they did last year.
That's what they did this year. Last year they stayed and played Lincoln and Burton and...
Yeah. I think Vardy had a poor day. He missed a couple of chances, which last season he would have scored, I think. I think Kante obviously is a big loss, but I don't think it was critical in Leicester losing the game. It obviously mattered, but I think Vardy had a poor day. Musa and Vardy together, I'm not sure. They're both good players, you know, great players individually, but they're both very similar sort of strikers, and I think maybe that's a problem. Maybe Musa's better as an impact sub because he is extremely quick.
Ranieri's also said that Musa, he sees Musa playing on the wing.
Yeah, I think Musa looked wrong. I think Leicester, obviously, I think everyone in the country probably predicted Leicester to win, but I didn't think Leicester were appalling. It wasn't like that they were dreadful. I just thought Hull played very, very well, in all fairness. And I think over the course of the season, yes, Leicester probably will, over 38 games, Leicester probably will miss Kante. However, I think I think that he will be a big loss, but I still think there's enough quality in that Leicester side to not ring any alarm bells.
Just going back, sorry, to Musa potentially playing on the wing as well. I know it was hated with the England side, but I could see a split striker sort of system work. You know what we tried in that friendly with England. I think with Vardy and Musa maybe, and, you know, the split thing and them both pushing wide.
Yeah.
I know it was pretty hated. That's probably a bit of a controversial comment to make, but I think with those two...
With Mahrez through the middle.
Okazaki, probably.
Yeah.
Wait, Ojala.
Ojala looks like he's leaving, though, doesn't he?
Where's he going?
Swansea wanted him.
Yeah, he would probably do well for Swansea. They've signed quite a few strikers, haven't they?
They've got Borja Baston, who's got injured for a while. He's out until October time, late September, early October. And they've got Llorente, who's quite a big physical striker. So, Ojala's sort of a bit of everything, isn't he? He can run.
He's pretty quick for a big lad. And, he's very strong.
Anthony, you suggested while we were planning the show that you think the league should have started a few weeks later because of the Euros.
Yeah, I did. I guess it's with all the... I know Arsene Wenger in particular is unhappy, but if you look at the games at the weekend and the players that actually played, like players like Jose Font for Southampton, Payet was a big one.
Yeah.
West Ham didn't play, and I think... I don't think players are getting long enough to rest. Pogba, even if he was, you know, available at the weekend, probably wouldn't have played because he was on holiday until recently. I think the league started too early. I know maybe easy to say that, but then how do you fix it later down the line, you know, with the fixture congestion?
Oh, but there's no tournament next summer. You can just wait and play for a week or two longer.
Yeah, but I mean, Euro 2016, it finished on the 10th of July. The final was 10th of July, so that's, you know, a month gap between that and the new season. And, you know, with all the pre-season and that, but yeah, personally, I think it should have started later.
Would you have pushed it back to begin September or the last week and maybe next week?
Possibly the last end of August. I don't know when the season exactly started recently. I think it is, to be fair, maybe a week later. I know most of the European leagues start this weekend. I would personally say it should start later. I guess the flip side of it, which I'm sure Shane is probably listening to this and screaming out, is that, you know, teams should just deal with it, play youth players like they do in rugby and other sports. They should just, you know, cope with it, you know, tough, your internationals are out, part of the game sort of thing. But yeah, personally, I think the league should start a bit later.
I can quite agree with that, but from a selfish point of view, I just love it when football gets away, and I'm, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I can see why. I think I'm maybe trying to live in a perfect world because then, you know, I also think we should have a winter break. But if the season starts later, we have a winter break. You know, when
starts 2 weeks later, it's only two extra midweek games, isn't it?
Well. Yeah.
Right, and this season we're bringing back Performance of the Week, and Anthony has the results.
Yeah, so we put on Twitter, we put the four finalists, we decided amongst ourselves. We got Eric Bailey for United against Bournemouth, we got Coutinho for his two goals for Liverpool and an assist, Idrissa Gueye, who was man of the match in Everton Spurs and for me controlled the midfield, and Jake Livermore, who played in Hull's win over Leicester, and our Twitter followers picked Coutinho with over 50% of the vote, so it was a pretty cut and dry case. Personally, I think you could have picked five or six of the Hull players.
Yeah.
Put them in there. I'd have.
That was our biggest. We wanted to put a Hull player in, but we just couldn't decide which Hull player to put in.
I also think Gueye was brilliant, though. Personally, I'd have picked Gueye or Livermore myself, but our followers have picked Coutinho, so I guess he's our performer of the week.
Yeah, and I'll tweet him, and hopefully we'll get a retweet.
Do you guys agree with it, or who would you have voted?
I voted Coutinho. If his name was on the list, I would have probably done Curtis Davis, but I think Coutinho, I thought, was just outstanding. Well, to be fair, you could have maybe given it to one of four Liverpool players, him, Lallana, Mane. They were all devastating going forward, and as I say, I mean, I just thought, yeah, I had to give it to a Liverpool player because that second half performance was just wow. And it's always lovely seeing Arsenal get terrorised at home.
with that match, my girlfriend's a Liverpool fan. She was only telling me when Liverpool were scoring. So I got into Matcha Matcha Day thinking it was 4-1 to Liverpool.
I guess for Liverpool, though, the rumour is that Mane's broke, he's dislocated his shoulder. Ooh. I don't know.
Shoulder, yeah.
That's what the paper was. I know he's got. He went to hospital with a shoulder thing, but not completely sure what. But that could be a big miss for Liverpool if he's out. I know the Hero doesn't really rate him, doesn't think he's that good, but I could see him being quite a big loss for them.
For Mane?
Yeah.
Well, he was amazing on Sunday, so I think it'll be a big loss.
Right, so we'll go to the first round of Sunday Pitch.
Wait.
So I've recently discovered the BBC quiz show only connects, so I thought I'd base the first question loosely around that. So basically, so the rules of the game are, I'm going to give you four clues, and you must figure out the connection between the clues within 90 seconds. The clue will be a player and a year. A player and a club or a year and the year. You'll start with one clue and you can request another clue as we go through the 90 seconds. If you get the connection on the first clue, you get 5 points. Second clue, 3. Third clue, 2. And the fourth clue, 1.
We've done this before, haven't we?
Have we?
I think we might have done once or twice.
It sounds a bit familiar. We might have done it a bit different, but I don't know. It sounds quite familiar.
Alright, so Anthony, are you going first?
I can do, yeah.
Yeah, so do you want,
yeah,
do you want,
first, mate.
Do you want question 1, 2 or 3? I've got 3 questions ready.
So what am I choosing, sorry?
1, 2 or 3.
I'll have 3.
3. Okay. So your first clue is Paul Gascoigne, 1990. And your 90 seconds start now.
1990. I'll have another clue, please.
Kevin Keegan, 1979.
Is it player of the year?
No.
No. Is it joining Spurs?
Kevin Keegan joined Spurs.
No, yeah, can I have another clue?
Glenn Hoddle and Chris Waddle, 1987.
Oh, it's obviously England. Is it first England cap?
No. 30
England
seconds.
Captain. Can I have another clue?
Ian Wright, 1993.
Scoring their first goal for England?
No.
Top goal scorer?
No.
Premier League top scorer? No.
20 seconds.
No. Can I have the final clue?
You've had the final clue.
Oh.
10 seconds. Right.
Well, that was fucking dreadful.
Right. They all had hit singles in them years. So Paul Gascoigne.
They were, sorry?
They all had hit singles in them years.
Hit singles?
Yeah. Paul Gascoigne got to number 2 with Fog on the Tyne in 1990. Kevin Keegan had Head Over Heels and Love, got to number 31 in 1979.
Well, I'd never have got that.
Glenn Hoddle and Chris Waddle in 1987 had Diamond Eyes and got to number 12. And Ian Wright, do the right thing, got to number 43 in 1993.
It's a shame Hero's not here. He could have probably owned some of them.
Alright, Nick, do you want one or two?
Two, please.
Two.
Still has miles away.
Okay. Your first clue is Borussia Mönchengladbach, 1977. And your 90 seconds starts now.
1977. Oh, God. No, next clue.
Club Bruges, 1978.
Next clue.
Real Madrid, 1981.
Next clue.
Roma, 1984.
Champions League winners?
No.
Europa League winners or UEFA Cup winners?
No.
UEFA Super Cup winners?
No.
European Champions winners? No. Managed by that Spanish manager?
No.
Managed by the current Spain manager?
No.
I don't know his name.
Thirty seconds.
Managed by Jurgen Cruyff.
No, I'm pretty sure you're still playing in 1977. 15 seconds.
I don't know.
Five, four, three, They were clubs Liverpool beat. They were clubs Liverpool beat in the European Cup final.
I wouldn't have known two before my time.
I thought they were losing finalists or something.
Right, so after round one of the pitch, you both got zero. Alright, so Joe Hart's future is in the news after being dropped against Sunderland and in the Champions League against Steaua Bucharest. He looks ready to leave Man City with Everton and Seville interested in taking him on loan. Do you think Pep is testing him, or do you think he's really going to leave?
I think he should leave. He's a great goalkeeper, he shouldn't be sitting on the bench, especially as he's English. Everton would be a good move for him. If it's anywhere in England, no one else in England. He must have really pissed Pep off in training or something.
Well, Pep said that he wants a keeper that's a sweeper keeper that comes off his line quicker than Joe Hart can. He said that Hart, you know, he said he can do it. He said he just wants 6 months training or something before he's ready for that sort of role he thinks he needs. I think he'll go out on loan, and then I think he'll get a chance maybe next season, which I think is probably, well, it's harsh, but, you know, if it was a different position, if it was, you know, a striker.
Is Willie going to do it very well then?
I thought Willie Caballero, I think he's a decent keeper, I don't really know. He seems to come off, he could be capable of coming off his line quick, I don't know. He's
the first thing he did
keeper.
When he came off his line was kick it straight to Watmore the other day.
I think if it was a striker or something, or, you know, who doesn't fit a system, like say Benteke at Liverpool is a good example, or someone like that who doesn't fit a system, then we're more understanding of it. But because it's a goalkeeper, we're saying no way, Joe. You know, Pep's being ridiculous. But yeah, you know, the small
didn't this happen a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Mancini dropped him for Pantillamon for a couple of games.
I think he's been dropped a few times. He was dropped by previous manager Pellegrini for a few games.
That's what I'm
thinking. You know, if you don't drop a goalkeeper when he makes mistakes, I don't know, I think if a keeper makes a mistake, he's got to be dropped for a couple of games. If it's, you know, a few mistakes, you can't always stand by your keeper, personally.
So both Barcelona keepers, to Stegen and Claudio Bravo, both rumours come in. Are they...
They're both quicker coming off their line, which is what fits what Guardiola wants. Mm. I'm not sure exactly who's the better keeper. They're both sort of almost joint number ones. One plays in the league and one plays all the cup and Champions League games. So they're sort of both. It's a weird thing they have in Spain where they've almost got two number ones. So I guess one of them having, you know, the chance here would be... It's a big transfer fee though, especially on Ter Stegen from what I've read.
Is that the one that we won about 60 million from?
Yeah, which is... It's a lot of money. And while he's a good keeper, I don't think he's at that top level like, say, De Gea or Neuer or Hugo Lloris or someone like that.
And in Spain, they have a lot more time. They don't get pressed as much, the keepers, so they can play the sweeper at the back.
Yeah, I think it's just a new style, isn't it? It's, well, we see someone like Manuel Neuer, he's a very good example. You know, he's off his line straight away and he can distribute the ball really well and, you know, he's comfortable with it at his feet. I think Joe Hart can be a piece. But in spite of all that, I don't rate Joe Hart as a top goalkeeper. He's a good goalkeeper, but he's not in that top bracket for me. I don't know what you two think.
No, I think he's a very good keeper. I think he's a better shot stopper than he is a technical keeper.
He's capable of making them great saves, you're right. But would you like put him in the top, you know, bracket with, you know, would you put him in, say, the top 5 or 10 in the world?
No. Probably the best, yeah. No, not in the world. I think he's I don't know, maybe if Butland wasn't injured, he might have been on number one at Euros.
Yeah.
I think he would have been.
That's the other question, though. How much does this put Joe Hart's England future in jeopardy?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was already talk that, you know, because Sam will want to change things up. Is that, you know, is this the perfect excuse, if you like, for him to, you know, pick someone different, whether it's probably Jack Butland? I know he didn't play at the weekend, but if it's Jack Butland or even Fraser Forster or someone like that.
Oh, we'll go on to that, because he's gonna name his first squad on the 27th. So do you think he'll make some huge changes to the Euro squad?
It's difficult to say, really. I think...
Well, do you think James the players like Noble will play, because he knows him from West Ham, and he'll probably bring Defoe back in, possibly?
I think while Noble's a decent player, I don't think he's good enough to play for England, personally. I think it's difficult for Sam to name a much different side, a much different squad to what Hodgson's named. There's obviously a few things you could do different, like Jack Wilshere, Jordan Henderson, the ones we identified as maybe errors that Hodgson made at the time. But I think there'll be like, you know, four or five new players in, four or five out, but it's hard to predict, especially as we've not had enough Premier League football this season to see, you know, because there'll be one or two players who'll catch the eye who, you know, we won't have thought of. I think it's a bit early to say, personally.
When me and Nick picked our Euro squad, we had Mikel Antonio in the squad, and we put Shawcross in the squad. So players like that,
I definitely don't think Antonio... There's been the argument for Shawcross to be in the squad for years, but I think Smalling and Stones will clearly be the first choice.
I think Andy Carroll will play.
Andy Carroll would.
I just trying to play. It'll probably be. Yeah, I mean, I can't really look past Smalling and Stones. Stones, who's moved to Man City, has the potential to go on and be one of England's best centre backs. Well, we can only hope England's one of England's best centre backs. However, is that what Sam Allardyce wants? I mean, he'll probably just want us to get the ball and ping it as quick as possible up to the strikers.
But, I mean, Vardy, Kane, Rooney, is Andy Carroll really going to play over either of them three? And Sturridge,
I think it'll be Carroll and Sturridge on the front two.
Over Vardy, so no Vardy, Kane, Rooney?
Oh, I want them to, but I just don't know what Sam Allardyce is like.
I think he's got to pick... You know, I think it's them four strikers. Carroll was potentially fifth choice, but I think those four pick themselves, myself.
Did I hear it right that he said he's going to pick Rooney where he's playing for United? So if he's going to play up front, he'll play him up front. If he plays him in midfield, he'll play him in midfield. And I don't think it's been decided that he's definitely going to be captain, has he?
He said he'd make the decision at the, you know, when he picks the squad, didn't he? Which, yeah. I think it's a smart thing to say. It just deflects the question for the time being. I'm pretty sure we'll see Rooney continue as captain, though.
Okay, so as we move on to round two, I hope you do better in this round.
So do I.
All right, so it's classics on the pitch in this one, so you've got five goes each.
There's okay. Players, yeah.
So I'll let Nick go first this time. Right, so Nick, go first.
Yes, sir.
So name... Name clubs that made it to the last 16 of the FA Cup last season.
Name a club?
Well, you're going to take in turns to name clubs, yeah. Name a club, yeah.
A club that made the last 16. Mm-hmm. We'll go for Hull City.
Yep.
I think Man United made the last 16, didn't they?
Well, they won the cup, so...
Yeah, I was...
All right, Nick.
The Scum, Crystal Palace.
West Ham.
Yep.
Everton.
Yep.
I've got the obvious. Liverpool.
No. Can't remember who they got knocked out by.
Oh dear.
Right. Nick?
Watford.
Yep.
Of course you do. Shocker. Did Swansea make it?
No. Nick, you've won. So do you want to go for Full House anyway?
Yeah, I'll try. Arsenal.
Yep.
I can't remember what side it was. Wasn't there a relegation?
Chelsea. Sorry?
Chelsea.
You don't have to give them all. Do you want me to name them? So you've got Bournemouth, Arsenal, Blackburn, Chelsea, Palace, Everton, Hull, Leeds, Man City, Man United, Reading, Shrewsbury Town, Spurs, Watford, West Brom and West Ham. So congratulations, Nick. You're this week's son of the pitch.
Yeah, I know.
Right, so it's been a bit of a quiet week on the transfer front. So one big-ish signing. Everton have signed Bolasie from Palace for $25 million.
I must admit, that's very good work from Palace, just stealing $25 million out of Everton.
It's a big transfer fee. He's a decent player, but he's
half
not,
of that, I'd say.
No, yeah, he's worth 10 to 15. But on his day, he's very capable of producing something special. And if it's his day often enough next season for Everton, then yeah, it could be a very good signing.
I was speaking to some Palace fans, and I think he tends to sort of he's fun to watch. Yes, he'll run past a few players here and then, but when it actually comes to scoring goals and assisting, he barely does it. Apparently,
yeah. What he's very good at is when you're under the cosh, getting the ball and just running to the other side of it.
Running to the air. No, he is good at that.
Who is it? Palace signed a winger, haven't they? They signed someone quite good. Can't remember who it is. Earlier in the transfer window.
Townsend.
Yeah, I guess Townsend, they got him for about $10 million, didn't they? So I guess, you know, to get $15 million profit, Townsend and Bolasie, I think that's good business.
It looks like they're using this $25 million to fund the Benteke transfer, I'm guessing. So on the BBC, it's $27 million. On Sky, it was $32 million, wasn't it? Or the other way around.
That's a lot of money, isn't it? I mean, he'll probably do all right. To be honest, he'll probably get enough goals to keep them up. In all fairness,
that's what they need. They get like 5 goals between all the strikers last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he'll do the job. Whether he's worth $32 million, well, if he keeps them up in the Premier League, he probably is. So, but I think when you look at $32 million, it is a lot of money. But then again, if he can get the goals, keep them up, then it probably is. It's probably money well spent.
I think he's probably the best bet they could, who Crystal Palace could sign. He's probably the best striker they can sign, and it's basically what Liverpool paid for him, isn't it, last year, and you know, kind of breaking even basically, and he's quite clearly a player they don't need, and he's proved to be more with Villa. You know, he'll suit Palace's system perfectly, and I think it's a good buy.
Nice. We'll just go over one or two transfer rumours. This is because it's in the Scum. It's obviously a reliable source.
Okay.
Liverpool striker Mario Balotelli could be moving to Wolves or Port Vale this week.
It was like a clickbait thing on Facebook today. It said that Mourinho's had secret discussions with Mario Balotelli.
Yeah. Obviously, I couldn't open the article because it was in the Scum, so I can't.
It said that he had a chat with him trying to advise him on the next club. He's obviously not going to do anything at Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp's told him to go and find a club. So, yeah, I think this is... Sorry?
Port Vale? That's what I was one of the club's rumours.
What is a Port Vale? Yeah, no,
I don't know. I could see him going to Wolves and beasting the Championship for a season.
That would be hilarious, him going to Wolves.
He'll see himself as better than that. He won't go to the Champions. I think he could still get a decent
Where did he go on loan last season?
I think Lazio won it. Apparently Lazio are prepared to take a chance there.
He was at AC Milan last season and didn't really do a lot. I think whatever he does this season, though, because we said Milan last time was his last chance, but this well and truly is his last chance.
I think the fact that we're saying that Wolves and Port Vale alone, I think it's already his chance has gone. So,
well, the rumours are Wolves are after a lot of good players, though, aren't they?
Oh, aren't they paying a 35-year-old 100 grand a week?
35-year-old?
They've signed a 35-year-old centre back, and apparently he's on 100k a week.
Have they? Who's the?
That's the dev. I forgot that he's a foreign bloke. He's a foreign player, so I don't know his name. But apparently, yeah, he's on 100k a week. If the Championship's ever gone mad, I think he's centre back. All I know is he's 35. I saw it on a few bits on Twitter and on a few group chats that, you know, he's 35 and he's on 100k. I think that's The only key word there really is Wolves are paying someone 100 grand a week. And it's a 35-year-old.
Right, the other one that caught my eye was West Brom have reportedly rejected £16 million bid from Arsenal for Johnny Evans.
I have heard that, yeah. Arsenal would have moved, but...
16 million? I always liked him at United, though. I thought he was a decent... You know, he did quite well at United.
£16 million.
But I think that would be absolutely hilarious if Arsenal signed him.
He's done quite well at West Brom, and he's played
in midfield most of the time.
Versatility. He's played centre back and left back as well.
Yes, but if you were
centre mid and left back, I should say.
If you were Wenger, would you offer a short term deal to a free agent like Philip Mexis or Distan? Christopher Samba.
He said today in an interview with Sky, he said that the players are out there to sign, but he doesn't want to spend the money on an average player. He wants to get a top draw player.
Mm.
Then free agents said, no, not for me. For me, he needs to go out and sign a top centre back.
I'll just until Mercosata comes back, just get one of these in for a couple of months.
I would put him the bench. Personally, I'd say not. I'd say you're better off. He'd be better. Off keeping faith with Rob Holding, who had a good season last year with Bolton and Callum Chambers.
Yeah, but what Holden, if he was training with Mexis every day or with this done every day?
I guess, yeah, it could help them out. Yeah, I can see the argument why you should bring someone like that in.
Sign him until January.
Yeah, I can see the argument, but if I put it this way, if I were managing Arsenal, I wouldn't. But I can see the argument.
Right, are there any other rumours you've seen today which catch your eye?
I mentioned the Balotelli to United one. Well,
Balotelli.
Misleading clickbait, which I believe.
I did see something.
Was the Newcastle players to Sissoko for
another league one, but
Everton and Liverpool both want Sissoko from Newcastle.
Although Sissoko thinks he's joining Real Madrid.
It's all gone a bit quiet as well on Fernando Forestieri.
Yeah.
After he refused to play for Sheffield Wednesday last week. I know there's a few clubs linked with him, but
didn't he apologise and say you're sorry and can I play again now?
Well, it's probably because the chairman and manager boy went ballistic on live TV saying that he's not going anywhere. If he's staying, he's just going to rot in the reserves. There's no Premier League clubs going to pounce him because I think he's quality.
I know West Brom are saying they want to bring in five players. That's what Tony Pulis said at the weekend, that they want to bring in five players, but no idea who they are.
Well, they've only got Matt Phillips. Is that the only person they've brought in so far?
Yeah, well, in the season preview, which me, Shane and Richard did, and Nick, I think, was on for one of the episodes.
I was on.
I know they were particularly critical of West Brom, saying they're not really going anywhere, which I can kind of agree with, but they do. They could do with some fresh, you know, fresh legs, fresh energy.
As long as Pulis is there, they're staying up. It won't be pretty, but they'll stay up.
Oh, did he sign somebody's name? Was it Mark Wilson from Stoke?
He's at Bournemouth.
Oh, he went to Bournemouth.
I knew he moved.
Because Eddie Howe was saying he's been really good in training. He's a leader in training.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess because they've lost Tommy Elphick, haven't they? He's gone down.
He's playing for Villa.
Yeah. So I guess, putting the experience in at the defence makes sense.
All right. So check out my new series I'm doing with Peter Prickett. It's the Vita Academy, where we focus on youth football and player development. Episode 1 we had Dermot O'Carroll from the Irish FA, and the last episode we had Bristol Rovers Academy manager Johnny Henderson. I recently conducted an interview with Newport Dragons disability footballer Luke de Gilbert, where he discussed how football has helped him with his autism. It's a nice little interview.
Yeah, it was an interesting interview, that.
Yeah, he was a really nice lad. He said he'll come. He's doing a charity tournament in September. He said he'll come on again and discuss that. So follow us on Twitter, it's at V2Football, and like us on Facebook, and check out our new website, v2football.com. when's the 72 show back?
72 show.
Hopefully soon.
72 show will be returning in September.
Right.
A few bits and pieces for it. I'm working on a shiny new intro for that, as well as, well, the intro for this, which is obviously finished because you've heard it. The show started.
It's a new era. We're going to have fresh matchups, fresh lineup.
I've got a few plans for 72 show. I'm really, really looking forward to it coming back.
Our first guest is going to be Shane O'Mac.
We've not invited any guests on yet, but we'll work on that. And yeah, we're hoping to make the 72 show better. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that's back in September.
I enjoy the 72 show. It's the only Football League show I listen to. So that's how I get my Football League views. So, anyway, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Clear the game, move your body.